Man, what an honor and a privilege it is to have Jay with us today. And so this is Jay Biro. And so, Jay, I'll ask you to come and join us. And like I said, been getting to spend the morning with him. And really, like, he lives in Atlanta now. And so we've gotten to be pretty good friends already. So I'm going to go visit him probably tomorrow. So we really like this guy. But Jay, I just want to pray for you. And then if you would just share with us just a perspective that I know that I do not have and that you do. And so thank you for being here with us today. Let me pray. Father, thank you so much for Jay and his life. And Lord, how you have blessed him in so many ways through Compassion International. And so, Lord, thank you for the organization. But Lord, thank you mostly and most for your gospel and the work that you have done in this wonderful man's life. And so thank you for my brother and now my friend. Lord, I pray you'd bless him as he shares with us today. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you very much. Good morning, church. We're good?
Yes.
That was a powerful worship. And we thank God for that. Well, as you can tell from my accent, I'm not from around here. So I'm just going to give a warning. There's going to be a thick accent in the neighborhood. But who am I kidding? I'm in the deep south, so you guys know all about accents, right? Well, my name is Jay Biro, as you've heard. I was born and raised in one of the poorest community in the world. The community that I was born is called Mathare. And I know we know poverty. I'm not going to be blind to poverty in America. There's poverty. I've been here for like 7-8 years now, but I know there's poverty. But the kind of poverty that I'm talking about is extreme poverty. Like, for example, in my neighborhood, when a boy was born, he was always expected to be a thief. And a girl was always expected to be a prostitute. They used to say that nothing good can come out of my community. And just like they said about Jesus, that's what they said about my community. And there was a cycle of poverty when a kid was born. Their parents would always try to take him through school, but since for you to go to school, you had to pay a tuition fee, you needed your school uniform, you needed a lot of stuff that even your parents didn't even have, and most of them didn't have jobs. So you end up trying to go to school, but you end up not being able to stay in school because your parents cannot help you. And so you find yourself staying home while other kids are going to school. And just like the Bible says, idle mind is the devil's workshop. And so while you are staying at home idle, you get friends who are doing other stuff, like stealing. And that's how most of the kids end up being thieves. I remember my mom, just like any other parent, she did everything possible to make sure that we had something to eat. We used to live in a 10-by-10 room, which is unbelievable. Like, you can't really believe how many people would stay in such a room. Sometimes 10 to 15 kids. But in that room, my mom would try and make sure, do we have anything to eat? And how you know that you don't have anything to eat? As you can tell, I'm not a small boy. And this comes with eating. But one of the hardest things, as much as I love to eat, was to step into that room and finding my mom looking to us and saying, we don't have anything to eat. We used to live in a small room such that you didn't even need to be told whether there's food or not. Stepping into that room, it's either cold because there's nothing that was cooked, or either you can't smell any food and you'd go to bed hungry. That happened to my family. It happened to my neighbor's family. It happens to my community over and over again. And I don't know if you've ever gone without food, but that's the worst thing. It doesn't matter how strong you are, how beautiful you are. If you don't have food in your stomach, you're a desperate man. And I remember we grew up without having role models. Nobody that I could look up to and say, I want to be like that person. The only people that we used to look at are thieves. They used to go out there and steal and come to my community. And they kind of used to be celebrated because they're doing well, they would have money. And that's not what I wanted to be. And I remember when all that was not working and my mom looked at herself and she thought that she was a failure. And she attempted suicide. Thank God she didn't die. But we found ourselves in the streets of Nairobi. Nairobi is the capital city of Kenya. And we were in the streets of Nairobi begging for food and money. I was begging because I didn't want to be a thief. I was trying to do what I can do without stealing, but being able to survive. But Nairobi is not a big city. So you can only beg for so long. And when I begged and begged, the funny thing is that when I would get something from the streets, some people would be waiting for me at home, my family. If I get something to eat, I would take it home and they would all eat and they'll be happy. The sad thing is when I would go to the same streets and come home in the evening and I didn't have anything and everybody would be disappointed. I was just 8 years old. When I couldn't find anything at the age of 9, I remember I started stealing and snatching things from people. And in Kenya, especially at that time when you're stealing, it doesn't matter how old you are. We have what we call in Kenya the mob justice. So they could either stone you, they could put a tie around your neck and burn you. You could be shot. If you are lucky, and I say the word lucky loosely, you could go to prison. I remember at that age of 9, one day when I was stealing, I was not lucky because I was arrested and I found myself in the walls of prison at that age. It was my darkest moment in life. And I remember asking myself, why did I end up being here? How did I end up being in prison? And I started questioning even where I was born in my family. And why was I not born in a family in America or in Canada where we saw that you guys had it all? And I saw the end of my life where there. I saw other kids being dying in prison because of diseases that could have been prevented. People were there in prison not because they wanted to, not because what they were doing, it's something that they really wanted to. It's because, like I said, the circumstances pushed them to be where they were. I didn't know how I was going to get out of prison because I didn't like to be there. I was not a believer. But one thing about Kenya is that Kenya is a praying nation. And whether you like it or not, you'll walk in the streets of Nairobi and you'll hear somebody preaching and say, Jesus loves you. And so at my darkest moment, when I didn't know what to do, I knelt down right there in prison and I called unto God. I asked him, God, if you're there and if you exist, please take me out of this prison. The second thing I prayed to God is to take me out of poverty, because coming out of prison is one. But then so long as I'm poor, I'm going to do something desperate and I'll probably die or end up in prison again. And I remember God came through and I found myself out of the prison. But that was just it. I was out of prison. I was happy just for a moment because I went to the same neighborhood where nothing had changed. My community, my family, there's nobody who had a job. And so I thought to myself I was going to go back to the streets of Nairobi. But thank God for Compassion International. Most of us have Compassion kids. I was told that some of us sponsor 1, 2, or 3 kids. And let me tell you what Compassion does. They go to the poor of the poorest countries, and they go to those neighborhoods that actually need help, and they don't go there to act hero. What is acting hero? Acting hero is going there and put up Compassion banners and having people from the U.S. to go there and help them. They don't do that. They work with that local church. They empower that church, and that church becomes the light in that community. And so in my local church, I was enrolled into this beautiful program of Compassion. We all knew about it because of what they've done in the community. And all of us wanted to be part of it. But not everybody can get in it because it's not easy. It's not cheap. And so I remember one day when I was enrolled, I was so excited. My family was happy that finally one of us has an opportunity. We actually saw that as an opportunity to make it in life. But when you get sponsored, they take a picture, and just like what I have right here of a girl called Maureen from Uganda. And this picture, they make a packet that represents that child. And so when you walk out there and you see packets, that's the only packet for that child, and they represent that child. You know, when you have a check which is as good as money, that packet is as good as life. And I remember they had my packet that was going around, and the idea was to look for somebody who can look at this face and say, hey, I want to sponsor that guy. I remember I waited for a long time. Maureen right here, she's 20 years old. And what happens when people go to the table to sponsor, they always go for the small ones and the cute ones. I guess I was not that cute because I waited for a long time to be sponsored. And I remember we used to cross our fingers when they would read out names of kids that have been sponsored, that have new sponsors, because every Saturday we'd go to the Compassion Center and we'd do all those fun things, we'd eat. But by the end of the day, we'd wait to hear who has a new sponsor. That used to be like the best moment, that you're waiting to hear your name being called, that you have a sponsor. And when your name was called, that would be the best day. I waited. But one day my name was called. A family from California, they picked my packet and they decided to sponsor me. And they became my family. It's people that I've never met even this day. But what they did to my life, they gave me a life that I didn't have. They sponsored me and they said to me, welcome to our family. Welcome to the family of God. And what did that give me? When the program was over, I was trying to pick, apart from the many things that we got a lot of shoes and clothes. It's good. We got a lot of food. Like, I love the food in Compassion. But all that is perishable. What are the three things that they gave me that is not perishable? If you sponsor a child today, what is it that they're going to get that they're still going to have it as long as they live? One for me was education. I was able to go to school. They paid all my tuition fee. They paid everything that pertains to school. English is not our first language in Kenya. And so even if you can hear me speaking right, I had to go to school to learn English. And so most of us go to school because Compassion take care of that. The second thing that Compassion gave me was love. When you sponsor this child, she is the only child that you're sponsoring, and you're the only sponsor. We don't have like multiple sponsors who are sponsoring this kid. And so when you sponsor them, they need to hear from you. And when you write to them, the first time that I had the words, I love you, was from my sponsors. They wrote to me, and they said, I love you. That meant everything to me. I've been here in the U.S. for some time, like I told you, and I've heard us throwing the word, I love you, so often. Sometimes I don't even know if we mean it. There are people who never heard that word. And so the first time I heard the word, I love you, was from my sponsor. The third and the most important thing that Compassion gave me is that Compassion introduced me to Jesus. Let me tell you, sometimes you can be so poor, and poverty builds a wall around you, and poverty is telling you that you're useless, that you're nothing, and you don't even have a chance to see the God who is bigger than poverty. And so when you sponsor these kids, you break the wall of poverty. You give them hope. They can see the light at the end of the tunnel. And at that point, you come and minister Christ to them. They'll say, yes, I have seen Jesus. I'm not seeing poverty. I might be poor right now, but the Bible says that God has a plan for me. And so Compassion introduced me to Jesus. And just like the song says, you can have all these things, but just give me Jesus. Getting Jesus to me was the best thing that I had ever received. The Bible says that Jesus sticketh closer than a brother. He's always there for me. And so when you sponsor these kids, they're going to have education, they're going to have love, and most importantly, they're going to have the Word of God. I graduated from the program. I live in Atlanta. I have a family. I have a wife and a daughter of 16 months, a life that I never thought that I could live. But then what? Most of us come out of that program and from such communities, and we never go back. And that's why I didn't have a role model. And so this is what we've decided to do. So to let you know, the Bible says when you give, it shall come back to you. But it doesn't say when you receive, you're going to get anything else. That's the end of it. But for us, we are like, you know what? Anytime you see a missionary is going back to Africa, they are always from the U.S. or from Canada. And most of those kids, most of us growing up, we didn't have a missionary who kind of looked like me. We didn't have a missionary who come from my community. And we want to be that. We want to be examples so that those kids that are growing up, they can say, you know what? I know that guy who came to help us and is one of us. And so I can make it. And so the ripple effect of you sponsoring is us being able to go back and be able to be that help. And so we have a ministry that we go back to Africa. The people who went through the program and they made it in life, we always go back and try and minister to those kids. Like right now, we are doing a campaign of raising 100 shoes and 100,000 shoes and feeding 100,000 families. And when we go there, we are telling them, hey, Jesus loves you just like he loves me. And so as I finish, I'm gonna ask you, probably you're asking yourself, why should I care? Why should I give to Africa? I don't even live in Africa. I don't even know anybody from Africa. Probably this is the first African you're seeing here. Why should I care? This morning we sang and we said, break my heart for what breaks yours. We all want to do what Christ wants us to do. Remember in the parable when he was saying that I was hungry, you gave me food, I was thirsty, you gave me water, I was in prison, you visited me. And then towards the end it asked, Jesus, when were you hungry and we gave you food? When were you thirsty and we gave you water? When were you in prison? But then it says, whatever you do to the little of this, you do it unto me. You should care. Because this right here, the name is not Maureen, the name is Jesus. When you do sponsor Maureen, you're sponsoring Jesus. And so I want to first of all say thank you to this church for the way that you guys have been sponsoring Compassion Kids. But we can do more. There's always room for more. I'm a good example that this program works. Today we have 45 kids out there who needs your love, who needs your support. And I'm just pleading with you and I'm asking you. And I know I've lived in America for some time now to know that not everybody in the U.S. is a millionaire, just like they told us. But I'm just asking you to sacrifice and sponsor a life. Sponsor a kid and change their life, just like my life was changed. Thank you and God bless you.
Thank you, Dave. Thank you, Jay, man. Wonderful job. Wonderful job. Man, so many things. Good grief. Can I just speak over you? Just a word that I heard over there that the Lord spoke to me that's a little bit separate even from what we're talking about. Listen, what good can come out of Nazareth? What good? You remember how he said that people would speak into his life, this is who you're going to be, this is what you're going to amount to. He also said that poverty does that. It builds a wall and it speaks, this is who you are. This is all that you can be. We've got to believe that though poverty may try to define a person, though a person may try to speak over you who you are, we've got to see the gospel of Jesus speaking a better word, speaking to us, this is who you are in Christ Jesus. That's who we are. So thank you, Jay. Thank you, Jay. Man, what a great work the Lord has done in his life. And then if you didn't catch the vision here of what he's saying, he wants to be a part of going back and investing in his neighborhood. And one of the ways is they're getting 100,000 pairs of shoes and taking those and deliver them with the message that God loves you and teach them about Christ. So just a wonderful, wonderful example. What I want us to do today for just a few minutes is I want to ask you to open up your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to give you a very quick picture and then help you maybe consider next steps for you in regards to Compassion International. So 2 Corinthians chapter 1, some of you, if you've known me long enough, you've heard me say this about 60 times, and so just hang in there with me. The Lord reminds me of it consistently, and so I want to remind you of it consistently. I think it's a beautiful picture of what we are here about today and what we ought to be about every day of our lives. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3 says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." And like if you have an NIV, you actually have the translation that says the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort. Who does what? Who comforts us in all of our affliction. So is there affliction that he doesn't comfort us in? Not according to God's word. So he comforts us in all of our affliction. How? He says, so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so, for instance, the word compassion means to suffer with. So in an ultimate Christian sense, we need to see this, that Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, that he suffered with us. He humbled himself. He suffered with us, mankind. But also, he suffered for us, his people. Okay? And so Jesus Christ, like if we want to know what compassion is, ultimately we look to Christ himself. But I want to show you something that's so interesting. We have this description in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 about who God is. You know, this is who, like if you want to know, like who is God? Who is Christ? What is he like? He is the God of all, the Father of all compassion, the God of all comfort, who comforts us. All right, hold your spot there. I want you to flip over to chapter 7. The Apostle Paul is going to talk about a time where he was afflicted or he found himself in trouble. The word harassed is even used. You could say he found himself in poverty. Okay? Verse 5 says, "For even when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were afflicted at every turn, fighting without and fear within." Verse 6, "But God, who comforts the downcast, comforted us by the coming of Titus." Okay, now you're maybe like, wow, that was, yeah. So God, he's the Father of compassion. He's the Father of mercy. He's the God of all comfort who comforts us. But chapter 7 shows us how he comforted Paul through his people. So what I'm going to say to you is this, is our ultimate picture of compassion, of suffering with, suffering for even, is Jesus Christ himself. What Christ calls us to do is to love him and love our neighbor. And the way that we love, we become the instrument that God brings comfort into the world. We're the ones that have the compassion of Christ, that we show God's compassionate heart to people as we go and we comfort and as we suffer with. Now that means so much, okay? And there is in your home, in your workplace, in our culture, there are so many places that we need to seek to think of that text and apply it into the world around us that we are in every relationship that we exist in. But as for Compassion International and for our time this morning, I want to point you to this thought, and it's this, that out here in the lobby, we have a little screen that's up, a little chicken wire situation out here with several cards, and they look like what Jay had. Look like this. Okay, and they're on there. And then there's a table that has several. These children, this is a little different than what we've done in the past. These children are actually already sponsored by Alberta Baptist Church. Okay? And so from the budget of Alberta Baptist Church, from your generosity, so when you gave today, okay, so like just earlier when you gave, you were giving towards sponsoring Compassion Children, whether you knew it or not. There's 45 kids that we sponsor as a church. But here's the thing with Compassion International. You didn't hear Jay said, he didn't say the only thing that Compassion's asking for is a check. It's not what he said at all. He talked about the love that comes from being sponsored. And the first time that he heard somebody say, "I love you," was from his sponsor. And so we have tried a number of different things in the past. We've got a board out here where you can write to children. We've gone to Sunday school classes. People have picked up with their life group, somebody to write to, all those things. But what Compassion is asking us to do, and they think will be the healthiest thing for today and then moving on into the future, is for these children to come from the budget of ABC and go into the budget at your house and for you to personally be their sponsor. Okay, and so on the chicken wire area, we have the oldest children, and then they move from the oldest to the youngest. And so this girl, she's 20 years old. And so, Jay, is that probably like 2 or 3 years left? So for 2 or 3 years, we would love for someone to sponsor her. She's 20 years old right now. Some of you may say, "I don't know how to write to a 6-year-old. But do you know how to write to a 20-year-old? You know, it'd be really cool to say, "Hey, I don't know if you've gotten a letter in 7 years." Somebody may be writing to her today from our board, but you can say, "But hey, I want to start a friendship and a relationship with you. My name is." Yeah. Go from there. And so pick up. No kid today will lose their sponsorship. We will continue to sponsor these children. But if you sign, if you say that you desire it, it's $38 a month. And we would desire you to consistently write. And by consistently write, we sponsor a little girl named Anastasi at the Mache home through Compassion. And we have not always done very well writing. I have an app on my phone, and I'm like not a very technological person. And so like I even know how to use that. And so I had not written her in about 3 months. And so I wrote her, you know, recently, but just something as simple as, hey, my family, you know, we went to Chicago and here's some pictures. We love you. We pray for you. How can we pray for you more? Those kind of things. And then she'll respond back. And so like just simple interaction, you can do it from like your phone in a few minutes. Okay? But you can pray for and love someone that you haven't even met. And so after we are finished today, the Becky and Larry Roach are going to be in the lobby, and you know, we'll have some other people that can come and talk to you. But we would love to see as many children as possible sponsored today. And you've already had an example. In fact, I'm talking too long. You've already had an example of the ministry that the Lord has used through Compassion International. And so I hope you see that today. Church, let's join the Lord, not just on Compassion Sunday, for what he's doing and for injustice and poverty. Let's join him every day. The Lord's at work, and the Lord is bringing his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, and let's be a part of it. But today, you can be a part through the work and the ministry of Compassion International. So I hope you will pray about that. In fact, I'm going to call Kyle and our worship team up. And as they lead us here in our final song, I think it's a wonderful time. You don't have to make a decision today. But if the Lord has spoken to your heart during this time, I would love for you, even as a family, to come and pray. Come and pray. Ask the Lord for wisdom. But let's make a difference in the lives of the least of these. One of the coolest things is I had on the app that I have, there was actually a couple letters that our little girl had written us that I hadn't seen. And so I actually saw a couple of them today. And you know what's so cool? Is when you look on there and there's a little girl across the globe who shares a birthday with Annie Ruth, who also is finding joy in pictures of a trip and showing us pictures of her and her sister and what they're doing and praying for us. Isn't that cool? The kingdom of God is diverse and beautiful and wonderful. Pray with me. Father, I ask that you would do.